Today I want to talk about being locked and loaded. I mean, we have been through a year where we've been all locked down. We've been locked down maybe physically, I mean, locked down with a virus, locked down and we can't go places, can't be in the environments that we want to be, and so we've been restricted, we've been penned down. But on the other side of it, I want to remind you that through the Holy Spirit, we are being loaded up with good things, with the fruits of the Spirit, with His anointing, with His grace, and we're here to make a difference in this life. And a lot of the time it's about realizing what's going on rather than just reading the signs, but hearing what heaven says. If you tuned in last week, then you know we talked about Joseph. And Joseph had this incredible story of hearing from God, following after God, but just disaster after disaster after disaster. And at the end of it, you're like, what on earth is going on? And for me, there's only two possible outcomes when you look at Joseph's life. You're just like, look, the guy was a mess and somehow he fluked it and he stepped into God's will at the end. Or God was always in control, and despite his mistakes and despite all the ups and downs and despite maybe his misfortunes, God's hand was on his life. And no matter what took place, God used it for his glory and for Joseph's good. I choose to believe the latter because I totally believe that God is in control of all things. He's in control of your life. He's in control of 20. He's going to be in control of 21. He's in control of every aspect of our lives. And so I want to encourage us today that we would trust God more than ever. I think when you realize and you know that God's in control, then it provides us with two outcomes or two ways that we're going to live or two actions that we're going to put into place. And that is, I'm going to trust and obey God, which are the same thing. And then I'm going to worship him, because if he really is this good and he really is in control and he really is turning things around for my good and his glory, then absolutely, I want to trust him. I want to put my faith in him. I want to just make that a big thing in my life. And then because of that, I simply want to worship because he is worthy and nothing else is worth my time. Nothing else is worth my money. Nothing else is worth me, only him, because he is worthy and he is worthy to be praised. And so as we come into 21, I don't know what 20 was like, but forget it, it's over. We've got to come into 21 now, and we've got to say to ourselves, I am ready to give God more than before, and I'm ready to obey and trust him, and I'm ready to worship. And that's my heart today, and that's where I want to bring us to. Here's what I learned from Joseph, and I learned maybe from last year as well. Number one is that tough places are hard for us, but not for God. So if you've been in a tough place, or find yourself in a tough place, they may be tough for you, but it's all right for God. He can still work. He's able to do great things. And number two then, when you're in the tough place, you've got a choice. You're either going to grow or die. And I choose to grow, or at least I try to by faith. And I say, God, help me. And it's fine to cry out to God, and it's fine to say, God, please. And in that tough place, we can grow. And we can grow in ourselves for God's kingdom, and we can grow the kingdom. We can advance the kingdom of God. We've got to realize this. But it starts with trusting, it starts with worship, and then it starts by saying, right, even in this place, God is in control. If he can do it for Joseph, if he can do it for Jesus, if he can do it for the Apostle Paul, then he can do it for me, and I want to put my trust in him. Come on, 2021, let's do it like never before. Let me give you Proverbs 3. We quote this a lot of times. People quote it as their favorite verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I want to read just the first few verses. We're going to read the first six because they're just so good and so helpful for this time. Verse 1 of chapter 3. My child, or my son, or my daughter, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God, with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Now wait for this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Wow. If you're not sure what to do over this next year, maybe last year you thought it's going to be greatest year ever and it didn't pan out the way you hoped. Well, here's what you do. Trust in God with all your heart and he will help you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will reveal all things to you. So as we start this new year, I think this is a great place to start. In fact, I know it. And by faith, let's do it. In 2021, let's exercise our faith like never before. And let's trust God. Let's get out there. Let's trust him. Let's worship him. And let's follow after him. When we trust him, no matter what season we face, we always obey God. This is the thing. When I trust God, when I put my trust in God, no matter what season pops up, no matter what season I'm going through, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to just keep after him. I'm going to follow after him. I'm not going to fail in that. I'm going to ask for his help. The grace of God is going to empower me. His love is going to sustain me. And the Holy Spirit is going to enable me and make me powerful because I'm trusting in God. I put my faith in him. And of course, the other response is, I'm not going to let anything take my worship. If I'm to trust and obey and I'm to worship, I'm not going to let anything take my worship if it's in my control. Now, there are many other things that might be out of your control, but we're going to learn today how even when you're in uncontrollable circumstances, even when you're in places you don't want to be in, you can still initiate worship because God has given us that power and ability by the Spirit. And God's power is on your life. You've got to know this. God's power is all over your life and he is for you. And the Bible teaches me and wants to teach you today, if God is for you, then who can be against you? That's not a cliche. That's a reality. That's a truth. And it will radically change your life if you believe it by faith. So number one, we're going to look at locked and loaded. Number one, we are locked. Here's what I realized. We have had a locked up year, but the New Testament church, they knew all about being locked up. Prison just seemed the norm for a new believer in the new Christian. If you were a new Christian, new believer in the book of Acts, read it. Get a chance to read it this next week or two. Read the book of Acts and find out how, like, prison and persecution, it was just the norm. It's where you find yourself. It's just like, oh, new believer, oh, okay, you're going to be persecuted. You're probably going to find yourself in prison. And you're thinking like, well, there's no way that the goodness of God, and there's no way that God would let this happen, and there's no way that the gospel will flourish if that takes place. Well, let me tell you, God was still good. God never failed them. God never left them. And the gospel exploded, so much so that we have it today. Why do you think we've got it? Because it did not fade. It just exploded. And here's what I need to tell you about from the Word of God for your heart today. Even if you find yourself in a lockdown position, even if you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, the early church find themselves there. But guess what? The church exploded. It multiplied. It could not be stopped. And every time a new believer would be murdered or would be hung or would be crucified or would lose their life, things would just explode. It was as if their life was a seed. And when it was planted, just multiplication would come. Let me tell you, your life wants to multiply. God wants to multiply through your life. Can I tell you, when they went to prison, they didn't go because of tax fraud or they made mistakes or they were bad people. No, on the contrary, it was because they made a decision against the religious authorities and they decided, we're going after Jesus. We're living. They were innocent. They were not guilty. They hadn't done a wrong thing. Jesus was innocent. He was not guilty. And yet then he took on the sins of the world and he died in our place. And God's calling us, and Jesus is calling us, as 2021 is right here. He's saying, come on, come after me. Come after me. Now, I know last year was bad, but can I tell you, it was nowhere near as bad as the early Christians. Even though we were locked up a bit, even though we were restricted, it was nowhere like being in prison in those early days. Think of our prisons today. I mean, you don't want to go there, but they're pretty luxurious in comparison to those early Christians' experiences. They were terrible. They had no food, no water. They were locked down. They were beaten. They were abused. They knew that their lives were gone once they hit prison. And yet they just wanted to worship. They just wanted to praise. Isn't there something about us when we get squeezed and we get pushed down? And whenever we have to rely on nothing else but God, we start to worship. We start to praise. I want us to encourage our hearts today. I want to believe today that we won't need all of our luxuries to be taken from us and all our blessings to be taken from us for us to really pursue God and to press in and to worship him because he's worthy of everything. Come on, let's not be held back by the great things that we have, but let's use them to our advantage to be able to press in to worship him more than ever before. 2020 maybe felt like a prison, but it was nothing like those early days as a Christian. But nonetheless, in 2020, we were locked down. Everything was shut down. We were in a position of no escape. We couldn't go where we wanted to go. So what on earth are you supposed to do in those positions? I want to tell you, you keep trusting, you keep rejoicing, you keep praising, because God always does something wonderful in those occasions. He always does it. And that's what I need to encourage our hearts with. Just like the early church, every single time they were persecuted, every single time they were shut down, it was like planted and they were getting ready for explosion. It's the same for us. What if 2020 was not what we anticipated or wanted, but what if we were being planted? What if we were being pressed down? And what if in 21, as we seek God, continue to pursue him, continue to be after him, then things would multiply and things would explode. Here's what I note from the early Christians is that yes, things took place that were no good. Yes, they lost their lives, but they refused to stop seeking God. They refused to stop pursuing after the presence of God because they were like, he's the only one who's worthy. We have heard the stories. Maybe they were were with Jesus. Maybe they were secondhand from Jesus, but they said, there's no other life outside of this life. We want to pursue him like never before. Maybe this new normal, you know, we talk a lot about this new normal over this last few weeks and months, and we're trying to figure out what's the new normal. But what if the new normal coming into 21 is Corona's still here? We're believing for an end in Jesus' name, but that means restrictions are still going to be here. So physical movement will be limited. Our physical freedom may be taken from us, but can I tell you that you can have all of Jesus all, as much as you want, that you can have as much of him as you want, because you can pursue him whether you're in a restricted place, open place, because it's about your heart. It's about your head. It's about your prayer life. It's about your worship. And my question today as we start 21 is, how much of Jesus do you want? How much of Jesus do you want? Because Corona can't stop that. Restriction can't stop that. Prison can't stop that. No thing in this life can stop that. The decision rests with us. What's our decision? What is our decision? Because it could be our new normal is we can't go and be all in the places we want to be, but we can still pursue Jesus like never before. And my heart, my urgency, my appeal to your heart is, come on, we need more of him. I need more of him. When we do this, guess what happens? We start to thrive. We start to multiply. We start to increase in every area. We see blessing in our families. We see blessing in our communities. We see blessing in our workplace, and revival starts to break out. So it's like he and miracles, signs and wonders. It's incredible. And all that God has said is, would you seek me? Would you seek me? Would you seek me? Don't let another year slip by. Don't let another time slip by where you seek other things, watch other things, do other things. Let's seek me like never before and remove distractions and give me your full attention and watch what's going to take place. Let me give you two stories today. Just for a few moments. Story number one was Peter. Peter was led by angels to freedom. Now, come on. When was the last time you met an angel? When was the last time you were in prison? Angel came to you and walked you out of the prison. If that's you, send us the message quick. We're going to go worldwide with that message. It would be incredible. But this is what happened with Peter. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, look what it says. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church earnestly prayed to God for him. Now notice that word earnestly. That was like they were intense prayer. They were seeking God with their whole heart. They were like, we're not just worrying, we're praying. We're not just worrying, we're worshiping. We are seeking God with all our hearts. Verse 6, the night before Herod was going to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. He says, quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter. Wow, what a story. Now, where was Peter? He wasn't in a place of worship in a sense of the church. He wasn't in his quiet place at home. He was in the prison cell, but people were praying. He was in the presence of God, even in the prison cell, and then an angel turns up. Can I tell you, wherever you find yourself, be ready. God wants to move in your life, but you've got to be ready for God to move in your life. If God needs to take you to a prison place, if he needs to bring you through lockdown, if he needs to bring you somewhere else, go there and get there, because it will be a gift, even though it looks like a curse. Because if it gets you to seek God, if it allows you to step into his presence like never before, then amen, hallelujah, it will be all worth it. Peter was led out by an angel. You see, in places of persecution, in places of lockdown, get ready. God is going to move. If we seek him, if we trust God, if we keep worshiping, get ready. God is going to move. So wherever you find yourself, do not give up the faith, but fight the good fight of faith, because it is worth it. God is right there and he is ready to move. Then it goes on in verse 25 or in chapter 16. We're going to go to chapter 16. Four chapters later, it's Paul and Silas, and they were saved by an earthquake. So you've got saved by an angel, now saved by an earthquake. I mean, this is incredible. If this was a movie, you'd be like, too far-fetched. This is real life. This is how God works, because he's a supernatural God and he always provides for his people. He takes us through Red Seas. He gives us miracles. He gives us manna from heaven every day. He brings Jesus to earth. Whatever needs to happen, he will do. We need to know this. If we would trust and worship, watch out. God's going to do incredible things through your life and he will not fail you. Paul and Silas, they were saved by an earthquake. Here we go. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Wow. Stripped and beaten with rods. This is not easy faith. This is not cheap grace. This is laying down your whole life to Jesus. He is worthy and he is worth it, but he does not feel it. Verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The first story, four chapters earlier, earnestly praying. That's what the church were doing. That's what the people were doing. They weren't blasé about it. They were seeking God for their friend. Now here you've got Paul and Silas. It's praying and singing hymns to God. They're worshiping. They just cannot stop worship. It's midnight. Maybe it was New Year's Eve. And they were worshiping God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains fell off. Just before that, in the previous story, you remember what it says at the end? Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter. Now, at the end of this story, it was like, wow, the earthquake comes, the doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. You see, our God is a chain breaker. He's able to break you free from the oppression of the enemy. He's able to bring you out from the powers of darkness. And maybe you've chained yourself up. Maybe somebody else has chained you up. Maybe someone has come and they've locked you down because it's been around way before Corona where your life has been a mess. Your life has been no escape. Your life has been in tatters. And it feels like you're just in a place of no escape. But when we put our trust in God, whether you're a Christian for 50 years, 90 years, or you're not never being a Christian, the moment you trust in him, the minute you put your trust in him and you seek him, he is able to break through any circumstances. Peter was in prison. Now Paul and Silas are in prison. And what are they doing? Worshiping. Praising. Because you cannot take my worship from me. You cannot take my praise from me. I have decided in my heart, no matter where I find myself, I am choosing to worship. I am choosing to praise. Here's the best bit about lockdown. Here's the best bit of being locked down, locked up, wherever you find yourself. Something would always change in the believers. Something would always change. Every time you find yourself in a place of persecution, in a place of hardship, if you will trust God, if you will seek God, watch how something's going to change in you and you will never be the same again. Your faith's going to be stirred. Your life's going to be transformed and you're going to come out stronger and better. All that God had intended in you will take place and more above all you can ask or think. Keep praising, keep praying. Here's what I learned from these early believers. Number one, prayer would rise. Prayer would always rise in these occasions. Prayer would not cease, but it would just start to rise. It would just rise night and day because prayer was a powerful weapon. Number two, worship would intensify. Wouldn't matter if they were in prison, locked between guards. Wouldn't matter if they were in the inner cells and they're strapped down. Their worship would intensify. Our worship needs to intensify. Our prayer needs to rise. And number three, their love for Jesus would become infectious and all-consuming. I mean, we're in a phase of life where we're worried about infection and disease, but I tell you what, there's nothing more infectious than the love of God. You see, when that starts to break out in your life, watch how it just changes everybody else's heart around you. Doesn't matter if you're an atheist, doesn't matter if they've had the hardest heart, doesn't matter if they're barely breathing, because if the love of God is in your life and it's infectious, watch how it's going to grab other people's lives and it's going to radically turn their hearts and lives around. Can I encourage you today? We need to get strong in our prayer. We need to get strong in our worship. We need to pursue the presence of Jesus because he will radically transform you. You see, the early disciples lived this life where Jesus is worth everything and Jesus is worth dying for. Wow. What if that got our hearts today? What if in 2021 that got our hearts? We were like, Jesus is worthy of everything and Jesus is worth dying for. He is all that I want. He is the one for me. And then point number two, and we're nearly done, is that they were loaded. You mean you were locked up. You may have been bound up, but can I tell you that you're loaded today? You're absolutely loaded with the power and the presence of God. You just have to get yourself out of the way or what other voices you're listening to. Because if you know God, then you have everything you need. You are fully equipped for this challenge ahead. You are fully equipped and he is right there with you. If you don't know God, then you're not equipped. You'll be all at sea and you will have very little hope of making it through. But turn your life to Jesus and watch how suddenly everything changes. Your life will do a 180 and your world will never be the same again. Can I tell you that we are high capacity people because of how God's made us? We are high capacity people able to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than we could ever imagine. Trust me, so much more. Our imagination cannot contain of what the Holy Spirit wants to do and work through our lives as we would trust him. The early church was loaded up on the Holy Spirit. They were loaded up. We've got to be loaded up with the Holy Spirit, because they knew that it was impossible to follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, whether 20, 19, 18, whatever year you've been in, 21 will be no different. It is impossible to truly follow after Jesus without having an experience and an awareness and an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You just cannot do it. You can't do it, because if you're going to live this life and come under persecution and restriction and maybe even be in prison, tell me how you will do that in your own strength. There is just no way. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to move through your life if you will let Him. You need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. So what about us today? What are we going to do as we would seek God and go after God? How are we going to press into His presence like never before and say, Holy Spirit, I need you? Can I read what Paul says right at the end of Acts? This just blew my mind earlier, and I really want to just bring it to your heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now, note the language here. Note the words. Paul is so in such relationship with the Holy Spirit, i.e. God, that he's just being compelled by Him. It's just like he's leading his life. This is actually what God always intended. Not knowing what will happen to me there. His life was full of uncertainty. You see, coming to know Jesus and knowing the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you always know what's going to happen next. In fact, probably you're going to live a life where you have no clue what's going on. But if you trust God, He will never fail you. He says, I was compelled by the Holy Spirit, but I had no clue what was going on, but I know God's good. And I only know that in every city, now watch what he says here. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Paul knew the way that he was living, the life that he was going after, and the way that Jesus was calling him to live his life, that persecution and prison was never far away. Never far away. Now, we are blessed if we don't face that in our lifetime, but we've got to realize we should live our lives still in the same way. We should live our lives still in the same way, that if it happens, it's okay, because God is with me. But I want to live in such a radical, dangerous way that I'm affecting the world around me, that the demons aren't happy, that people that are against God are not happy, because I'm here to bring something. I'm here to bring love and peace when the world is lost with fear and worry and evil. I'm coming to bring something far better, and that's going to rub other people up the wrong way, and it's going to cause the demons to go crazy, because they don't want this. They want people lost and trapped and full of fear and full of anxiety and losing their lives. They tell you, they never want anyone to get to heaven. Their lives are fully consumed with bringing you to hell. So when you start to speak a different message, get ready. You're going to come under persecution. You're going to come under violence, because people don't like that. The enemy does not like that. But Paul says, I'm fully aware of this. The Holy Spirit has told me. He's there. But look at what he says in the next part of this verse. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Wow. I am speechless at reading this. Speechless and overwhelmed by his humility, by his boldness, by his incredible lifestyle. And that I can only imagine that the only way to say this and the only way to live this is to be so close to God and to be so yielded that you say, Jesus, not my will, but yours. That you just turn around and you say, Lord, I've got loads of ambitions, I've got loads of dreams, but I put them all on the cross because only you are worthy. Paul had found a life that says, hey, only he is worthy. Nothing else is worthy. In other words, everything else is worthless. Oh, Lord, help us to realize that everything else is worthless outside of you. Help us not to get distracted by other things. Help me not to get distracted. Help you not to get distracted. Help us not to be consumed with other things that all they want to do is rob us of the life that Jesus has won for us. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul says, this is the sum of my whole life. I'm here to testify. I'm here to declare the goodness of God. I'm here to bring the gospel message to whoever and everyone that I meet, whether they like it or not. I'm bringing the good news. And whatever happens to me, so be it. But every place that he knew he went, he was aware that prison was right on his doorstep. He was aware that prison was right there. But I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. Do you fancy a New Year's resolution? What about that one? What about that one? Can I tell you that this year, God has set you up to do incredible things for his kingdom? Can I tell you that this year that God has planned that you would be here at this time, at this moment, at this particular phase of your life, given all that you've been through, and yet he says you're in a better position now than you've ever been before because I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm always doing a new thing. And church, wherever you find yourself, people, wherever you find yourself, you've got to know by faith that he is worthy of your trust. And he is worthy of your worship, and he is worthy of your life. And if we do this, watch how something incredible, incredible multiplication, incredible signs and wonders are going to move through us, and our lives are going to be a blessing to the world around us. 2021 has to be a year where the Christians rise like never before. So finally, we're going to start our year, as we always do, by fasting. Fasting. And here's my heart for this year. My heart for this year is we go into this 21 days of fasting. Is this tough? Absolutely. Can you do it your own strength? No way. You've got to do it through the power of the Spirit. But 21 days of getting locked in and loaded up in the Holy Spirit like never before. That's my prayer. That's my desire. That's my heart for us as a church. That's my heart for you as a believer in Christ. If you don't know Jesus, come to know him, because this is what God is calling us to, that we would get locked into his presence like never before and loaded up in a way that we have never done before. We're going to pursue him. You see, 2020 was a year of we had no choice. We were being physically restricted. What if 2021 is us initiated, where we say to ourselves, you know what? 2020 was on somebody else. I'd lost control. I thought it was going to be an incredible year. I was going to give God everything, and then it was all pulled from me. What if 21 we go in and we say, hey, I'm taking charge now, and here's what I know I can do, and it can never be taken from me. I'm going to get locked into his presence like never before. I'm going to get loaded up in the goodness of God, in the power of God, in the presence of God like never before, and my life is going to count. My life is going to count because I am ready to press in a way that I haven't done in a very long time or never, ever. Let me give you a few things that we're going to go after in our fast 21 days. We're going to after his power like never before. We're going after his presence like never before. We need his anointing like never before. We need his authority like never before. And we need his transformation, because I'm fed up of being the way I've always been. I need some things to change. I'm glad he's changing some things, but there's other things that I need to yield before him. And there's other things I'm sure in your life where you need to give them to him, and he is ready to transform. And so through these 21 days, we're going to pray, we're going to worship, we're going to seek him, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to come together, and we're going to believe like never before, because Jesus is calling us into his heart in a way that he has not done before. You see, I've realized that Jesus is worth everything. I've realized there's nothing else matters outside of him. I've realized that he is worth every part of my life. I've realized that without him, like last year, fear and worry just take over. I've realized, like last year, that as Christians, we need to step up more than ever before, and we need to stand out like never before, because our world needs hope and our world needs love. Our world needs people like Jesus. And here's my heart as we finally finish. 21 days that could forever change your life, but not just your life, the people around you, the world around us, society around us. Our world is crying out for men and women like Jesus. Let's go for it, and let's believe and pray together. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for everybody's heart. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you're moving and how you're moving in our lives, and you're moving at this time, Lord. And we pray today, Lord, like never before, would you challenge us? Would you charge us, Lord? Would you call us deeper into your presence? And I pray, Lord, that we are pursuing you. If we don't know you, we're saying yes to Jesus right now. There's no time to waste. There's no time to hang back. It's a time to say yes to Jesus, because the times are crazy. But Lord, for believers, for us as believers, we would say, Jesus, I need more of you. I'm ready to yield. I'm ready to give up more control than ever before. And these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I pray, Lord, I will give you more of me, and you will give me more of yourself, and I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.